The sermon this morning actually came to me watching some television show, but in this show, a person went to a horse auction. And they showed these horses, you know, they were prancing them around like they do, you know, these rodeo type horses. And this horse sold for $5 million. And this character is like, why would somebody spend $5 million for this horse? They just couldn't get their head around why anybody would spend $5 million for a horse. The show goes on a little bit longer, and this person is sitting around a campfire talking to this older gentleman, and she makes the comment, I still don't get it. Why did somebody spend $5 million for that horse? And his response was, because they thought it was worth it. They wanted it. He goes, if nobody wanted it, then it's not worth $5 million. But somebody was willing to pay that. Well, I got thinking about that because many, many years ago, I worked for Hoover, which was owned by Maytag Corporation. And Maytag was going through this run where its company stock had gone from really low up to $70 a share. And all these people at Hoover had put their money into the Maytag stock and they were feeling good about their retirement and life was wonderful. And then one morning, something happened and all of a sudden the stock went from 70 to 35. And the next morning it went from 35 to 14. And it never got above 14 again for as long as I worked for them. And I struggled with that because that's a big drop. But I looked at the company and I said, you know, the same people are working here today that were working here when it was $70. We're selling the same products we sold when it was $70. Got the same factories. What changed? What changed that made that stock all of a sudden not worth $70 and only worth $14? To this day, I really don't know. Because it's all about what somebody was willing to pay for. And if you think about that as we go through life, there are so many things in life, they're only worth something if somebody wants them. Otherwise, they have no value, okay? Lots and lots of antiques. These shows will come out and say, oh, this is worth, you know, dollars. Yeah, if you find somebody that wants it. But if you don't find anybody who wants it, you know what it is? An old piece of something that nobody wants, right? Well, we need to understand a little bit about value because value is about prioritizing things, what we find important. What do you think is important? Well, every worldly thing has value only because somebody decides it's worth something. They want it. They're willing to pay something for it. And it changes over time, right? There could be things that were worth a lot that suddenly become worth not very much at all. The example of the horse made me do some checking. So there was a horse that was purchased. Seattle Dancer was this horse's name. Purchased 1 year old for $13.1 million. $13.1 million for a horse. That horse earned $152,413 as a racehorse. That seemed like a good deal to you? Okay. But somebody thought he was going to be wonderful. So they spent $13.1 million. Because they thought they were going to make something, thought they were going to get something out of it, right? Then there's another horse, Romantic Warrior. I love these names. Romantic Warrior. That horse is at 1 year old, was sold for $396,948. And its life, it earned $36.8 million racing. So one, you spent $13 million and you got very little back. The other one, you didn't spend a whole lot and you got $36.8 million. What's it tell us? We don't always value the right things, okay? We can get talked into valuing things as being more or less than what they're really worth, right? And that's why I want to talk to us about value. So I forgot to move my thing. I've made it mad. Let's try that. Always reboot. When you make it mad, you reboot. There we go. Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk about, is what is value, okay? And about the fact that we don't always value things the way we should, okay? Because we all make these kinds of trade-offs, right? You go to buy a new car. They want this much for it. Well, you have to decide, is it worth that? You're determining the value to it of yourself, right? Sometimes you'll buy the car, sometimes you won't, because you say they're asking too much. Well, most of the time it eventually sells, doesn't it? Somebody, they decide it was worth it and they'll pay for it. Well, that's a very important concept when you get to the things biblical, to things spiritual. And I want us to look at some examples of what valuing something looks like. So turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. In verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Right, so this person finds some hidden treasure. Lots of TV shows and books and stuff written about finding hidden treasures, right? And always there's whoever that person is will put in all sorts of effort to get that hidden treasure because they believe it's going to be of great value, right? And so in this case, this person finds this hidden treasure and decides that it is worth enough to sell all that he has to get that field. Well, the passage says that this is like, heaven is like. Heaven is worth selling everything we have in order to get it. But it's like a hidden treasure. Why? You ever seen it? Anybody here seen heaven? No, not seen it. Ever experienced it? No. So it's hidden, right? You're having to go on faith that it's going to be worth what it is you're willing to give up to get. Well, let's go on to another one here. Continuing in Matthew chapter 13, let's go down to verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. So now we've got this merchant who sells pearls. And he finds this pearl, and he decides this one pearl is worth giving up everything else he has. You ever thought about that? I'll go back to my example of the car. Be like a car dealer saying, you know what, this car is worth so much, I'm going to sell everything else I have, and I'm going to have this one car, because I think it is going to be so valuable that I need to have that one car. What happens if nobody wants it? Is it of any value? What happens if you put all your money into it and you can't sell it? You don't got anything left, do you? You're taking a risk, aren't you? You're taking a chance. You've got to feel very strongly that something is worth a lot to make a deal like that, to make a decision like that, because you're giving up everything. You're putting all your, as they used to say, all your marbles in one place. But that's what, again, he's saying, the heaven is worth it. It's worth putting all your marbles there, putting all your money in. You know, and then Luke, turn over to Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that was lost." This is an example of the value of a soul. Every soul. But think about it for a moment. That soul was worth so much that the person was willing to do what? To work to find it, to get it. I had 9 out of the 10. That's 90%. That's pretty good. I don't know about you, but if I got a 90 on a test at school, I was feeling pretty good about things. 90% is a lot. But that one more. That coin was worth enough, was important enough, it would work diligently to find it. You know, I got thinking today, in today's world, how many times have you walked by and seen a penny on the ground and just kept walking because it wasn't worth the effort it took to bend over and pick it up? Okay? As a kid, you always picked them up. I wanted to know if it was heads up, because heads up was good luck. If you found it on the ground, heads up, right? You'd pick up all these pennies. We always pick them up. I still do pick them up. That's because I'm cheap. But a lot of people don't even take the time to pick up a coin. Now it's not just pennies. It could be nickels, dimes, quarters. They're too busy. Got too many other things going on, so they just blow by it, right? This person, this woman, swept the whole house. She lit the house up. She put in effort to find it. Have you ever lost something and not been able to find it? How long are you willing to look for it? Well, does it depend on what it's worth to you? How important it is? My dad lost his wedding ring one year. We tore the house apart. We literally tore the house apart trying to find it. We had drawers out. We were under beds. Mom, I mean, the house was really clean when we got done because we tore the house apart looking for Dad's ring. Didn't find it. Could not imagine what happened. The next summer, we were putting in the garden. Guess what we found in the garden? Dad's ring. It wasn't in the house to start with, so all that cleaning and working, you're not going to find it there because that's not where it was at. He lost it in the garden. A year ago when he was putting the garden in, probably. Okay? But we did. We tore it apart because that was of value, right? But there's other things if we lose them. Oh, it'll show up, right? Ever make that comment? I'm not going to get too worried about it. It'll show up. It's got to be here somewhere, right? Well, how we react is dependent upon how much we value something. How do we decide what we value? What's important to us, right? Dad's wedding ring was not anything extensive or a big deal. In fact, it was a piece of stainless steel that my uncle, a machinist, had taken a machine to fit my dad's hand, polished it up, and gave it to him. It was just a stainless steel, solid band. Handmade. Nothing important, nothing expensive. Wasn't worth a lot of money. But he valued it. Why? Because of what it stood for. So sometimes value is not about what monetarily it is. It's about how important it is to us. What value we find in it because of other reasons. You know, there are a lot of things in life that we could value. Money. We can value money a lot. A lot of people do, right? Brian mentioned Elon Musk. He's a trillionaire now. He obviously values money, okay? I don't know what you're going to do with $1 trillion, but he's got it. There's somebody who values money. Some people value themselves. Everything they do is about self, taking care of self, right? You ever thought about that? How much some people value themselves? We talked in class this morning about what an elder was really supposed to do, what Paul's example to them was. And it was all about doing what was best for somebody else, not for self. But some people don't ever think of anybody else. They just think of themselves. One of the things that drives me the most nuts we spent a lot of time dealing with this on our trip, was people who go whizzing by you and cut in front of you because they've got to be first. That drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. But those people who just believe I want to be there. I want to be the first one there. That's what I want. It's not me, right? I'll put everybody else at risk so I can get there because that's what I want. That's about being about self, right? Valuing self. How about family? Do we value our families? You know, if you want to see me get worked up, somebody pick on one of my grandkids. Somebody's going to be in trouble. I'm not going to lie, somebody's going to be in a lot of trouble because I value my grandkids. I value my kids, but I love my grandkids. I really value them. But we do love our families and we do things for our families, right? We try to take care of them. We try to protect them. We value them. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Even self. Is there anything wrong with valuing self? We talked about Paul took some time to do what? Take care of Paul. Sometimes we got to do that, right? So, and money. Do we need money? It's kind of hard to live without it, right? So all these things have value to us. Even knowledge. We like knowledge, don't we? We go to school. The world values knowledge. If you get a bachelor's degree, you automatically get better pay than somebody who has just a high school degree. When I first started at Hoover many, many, many years ago, I came in just out of college, my accounting degree, and this lady says, you need to go back and get your MBA. I said, why do I need an MBA? She says, because you'll make more money. Oh, okay. So I went back and I got my MBA. Now, at the end of it, I can't say I thought I was any smarter or did anything any better, but I did make more money because I did it. Because the world values that for some reason, right? So knowledge means to an end. We can also look for knowledge of spiritual things, right? The question is all of these things do have value to them, okay? And we have they're okay to have some value to us. The question is, which one of them is most important? Because we can't have everything. We can't have everything. So we have to decide what is the most important thing to us. Is it money? Is it self? Is it family? Is it knowledge? Are those the things that we should really be valuing? Well, let's take a look. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Behold, a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have kept, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this young man told the Lord, okay, if you really value eternal life, go sell what you have. Give it to the poor. Help somebody else out with it. Well, how did that go? Did he go sell what he had? No, it doesn't say he did. It says he went away sorrowful. Why? He valued that money. And unfortunately, the implication here is that he valued that money more than he valued his soul. He wasn't willing to give up money because that was the thing that was of most value to him. I'll go back to, we all need money. We We need money to live. Helps pay the rent, helps buy food, keeps the car running, right? We need money. But is that thing that is most important to us? Jesus just gave an example that it shouldn't have been. But if we're not careful, we can be just like that rich man, and we will put our desire for money as being more valuable than our soul, our eternal life. Well, how about self? Turn over, if you would, to Luke chapter 9 and verse 33. Luke 9, verse 33. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said, "Master, it is good that you are here. Let us make three tents, one for you." Why do I think I'm in the wrong place? I wrote down the wrong thing. Well, folks. Oh, here we go. 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Verse 25, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Deny himself. So if we want to save our soul, we've got to deny ourselves. What does that mean? Got to not put ourselves first. That means it can't be all about self. Well, that's a hard thing, isn't it? We spent a lot of time in sermons and in classes talking about why it's important to put others before self. But here's one of those examples. We've got to be careful that we don't put ourselves above God. Because we've got to serve others. We've got to serve God. So taking care of ourselves is important, but we can't put self above our soul. Hopefully I get the next one right. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Family. "Whosoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's a pretty hard one, isn't it? We all think very highly of our families. We want to take care of our families. My question to you is, does that scripture say you shouldn't value your family? It doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? Let's read it again. "Whoever loves father or mother more than me." We can value them, but we can't value them above what? Above the Lord. How do we do that? Have you ever really thought about that? How do you value your family above the Lord? Well, sometimes as parents, we have to make some decisions. Am I going to let my child do this because they want to do it? Or are we going to teach them what God wants them to learn? Which means maybe they can't do that. And they're going to be mad. They're going to be upset. Which do we do? Well, sometimes we want to make our kids happy. And we put their happiness above what's important to their soul. Well, that's when you put your family above God. Or if we let our family distract us from serving God. Right? My husband or my wife doesn't like it that I go to church. Maybe I shouldn't go so much. Maybe I shouldn't do this. We have to be careful of that, don't we? Maybe they're not going to like it, but who am I going to serve? my family, or God. There's some tough choices there. But I want to point out again, it doesn't say that we don't value our family. They just can't be the most important thing. They can't be valued above the Lord. That's important. That's very, very important. And then, last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2. It says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And the love it's talking about here is concern about others and a love of God. You know, Solomon was a very, very wise man. The Bible says he was the most wise man there was. Well, one way you become wise is you have gained knowledge. You've been able to put it into practice. He had a lot of knowledge. You read through the different books to talk about Solomon, you see he did a lot of things, he knew a lot of things, he investigated a lot of things. Ecclesiastes talks about the fact that he spent a lot of time learning new things. But he came to a conclusion about them. They were vanity. Why? Because knowledge, unless it helps us to serve God, isn't going to do us a whole lot of good. What we need is knowledge of what God wants. That's knowledge we need. Knowledge is important, but it's got to be the right kind of knowledge. Knowledge that helps us to serve God, that is, should be our goal. That's something that is of value. The rest of it, not bad by itself, but if that's all we focus on, and we don't use it to serve God, what true use is it? What true value is it? So none of these things that the Bible point out as being the thing of most importance, of the highest value, is it? None of them. It's not money, it's not self, it's not family, it's not knowledge. None of those are the things that the Bible says are of the highest value. So what should be of greatest value to us? Well, here's a question that the Bible asks. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? What can you give in return for your soul? So one of the things about value is it's only valuable, truly valuable to you if you can get it, right? Is a Rolls Royce valuable to anybody in here? It isn't me, because I'll never own one. Can't afford one. Kind of cool look at them, but I don't put any great value on them because it's not something I can obtain. Well, what is this verse, Mark chapter 8, verses 36 through 37, what is it telling us? We can't pay for our soul. So should our soul not be of any value to us? Because it's not something we can buy. But it's what? It's something that's given to us. The salvation of our soul is given to us. It doesn't cost us a penny. It doesn't cost us a thing. It is given to us. Eternal life is free. You ever thought about that? If something is free and it's given to you, it's good for you, it's in your best interest, and you would never have been able to get it yourself, and somebody hands it to you, what would you call that? Would you call that a gift? You ever been given a gift of something that you would have never been able to get for yourself, but that was thoughtful, somebody knew something about you, knew that you desired this, you needed this, you wanted this, and they gave it to you. It's a pretty good gift, isn't it? And you'll tend to value that gift a lot because you recognize that there was a lot of thought and concern that went into it. Somebody cared about you, right? Somebody cared about you. Have you ever considered how important, how valued the gift of eternal life should be to us? Because we can't buy it. Can't get it on our own. Absolutely unattainable unless it's given to us as a gift. How much do we value it? How much do we value it? Every Sunday when we partake of the Lord's Supper, as I was trying to point out this morning, how often do we think about the mechanics of what we're doing? The fact that we do it every Sunday, partake of the Lord, the bread first and then the fruit of the vine, and we remember they represent his death. But how often does it really strike us that that represents the greatest gift we could ever have been given? The greatest gift we've ever had any opportunity to have. The most valuable gift we could possibly have been given. Do we think about that? Do we think each day as we're going through and dealing with life, making decisions, that there was a sacrifice that was made that gave me a gift so valuable, and the only way I can lose it is by doing things I shouldn't do in the first place? You ever think of that? Nobody can take it away from me. The only way I can lose it is if I mess it up myself. That's pretty high value, isn't it? That's what our soul, the salvation of our soul, what God has provided for us, should be of great, great value to us. Do we treat it like that? If you own something of great, great value, what do you do with it? You just kind of toss it over in a corner and ignore it? Forget about it? Is that what you do with stuff that's of great value? You keep track of it. You watch to make sure that it's taken care of. You know? I don't know if anybody's ever been up, but the guy that came up with Roundup, I can never remember his name. LL? No, that's the wrong one. Albaugh. He has got a place with all these cars. Those cars are pampered better than most people are. Climate control. They are pampered, petted, taken care of. Why? He values them. He values them. So he takes care of them. He makes sure that they are protected. Do we do that with our soul? Do we really value our soul? Do we take care of it, protect it, guard it, make sure it's maintained, make sure that it's in a good shape? I don't know. Maybe not the way we should. You know, as I pointed out here, we've not been saved by anything that we can do ourselves. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5 reads, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Real simple was, we were lost. All that verbiage comes down to, we were lost. Because we were contrary to what God wants. But, there's that big but, God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We have been given the best, most valuable gift that we could possibly receive. Value, unbelievable value. It makes Elon Musk's $1 trillion worthless. Because with this $1 trillion, you know what he can do with his soul? Nothing. Nothing. Won't do a single thing to save his soul. Yet it's been given to us for free by the grace of God. But you know, this is the other thing that got me started thinking about this. In order to get God's gift, in order to show we truly value the gift that has been given, we have got to put God first. And this came to me in our study in Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. The son honors his father, the servant his master. If then I am a father, where's my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? And fear here means respect, reverence. Says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals and sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you come, you offer those that are lame or sick, is that unevil? Notice this last part. Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. Sometimes we treat the world better than we treat God. We show more honor to the world than we show to God. People will absolutely go bonkers to get the autograph of some famous person. It's hilarious sometimes to just stand back and watch what they'll do to get this, because this person's famous. Okay? They will go through great lengths. They will travel great distances. They'll spend lots of money to get an autograph of some famous person. They'll show them all sorts of honor, right? What does God ask for us to do? Respect him, reverence him, do his will. That's all he asks. Is any of it harmful to us? No, it's all good for us, actually. He doesn't ask anything special, doesn't ask a lot of us. But we've got to put him first. So going back to what I talked about, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with self. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. But they can't be first. There's only one thing in our life that can be first, and that is God. And we each need to stand back, examine ourselves, and determine, do I truly put God first? Do I show how much I value my soul by how I treat the one who's given me the gift of eternal life? If you continue reading in Malachi, you can tell very definitely that God was not pleased with the priests who did not show him the honor that he deserved. He was not pleased. In fact, he told them, I'm going to curse you. You are going to pay a dear price for not showing me the honor, the respect, the reverence that I deserve. Why do we think we're any different? Why do we think we can live lives that don't show our love of God, our respect, our honor, our reverence? That's our sermon for this morning. Hopefully, each one of us will stop and think about what's important in our life. What do we really, truly value? What really, truly is going to matter to us on the day of judgment? Because it's not going to be the money. It's not going to be ourselves. It's not going to be our family. It's not going to be knowledge. We're going to stand there with our soul hanging in the balance. How are we going to be prepared for that day? If you've never obeyed the gospel, then you haven't shown God that he matters. Because he's told us that if you want to partake in the gift that I have provided, you have to obey the gospel. But then as we point out, each sermon, even if we've obeyed the gospel, we've got to live according to God's will. We've got to show God that we honor him, that we reverence him, that we appreciate the gift that we've been given. So if we can help you with any of that this morning, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sit.